2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7. Paul here is speaking about the authority he has as an apostle, because his authority is being questioned. And so we're going to start reading with verse 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us, for edification and not for destruction, I shall not be ashamed. Lest I seem to terrify you by letters, for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letter when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We shall not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. And we're going to stop with the reading there. Paul's authority. Now, was being questioned. Some of the people there in Corinth weren't happy with what he was teaching them. And they weren't happy about his questioning, for example, some of their lifestyles. And the thing we tend to do if someone points out to us faults or weaknesses we have, the thing that we tend to do is begin to question them and attack their character. And we see this going on today in Washington in some of these inquiries. The attorneys there that are doing some investigating find that now they're being attacked. Well, you're not perfect either. You know, we're going to look into your past. And it's a very common tactic that people use rather than face the reality of their own problems. Now, the first thing that Paul points out, I think, here is this authority he has comes from God. He says, I'm an apostle, and the authority that I have in preaching and teaching and pointing out to you your sin and so forth, this is authority from God. And this is something that's very important. I want to read Matthew 28, those verses where the Lord Jesus, before he goes back to heaven, calls his disciples, and he says, I'm sending you out, and as you go out, I want you to realize you're going with authority. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came, spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Jesus here says, authority is given to me. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. One day he's coming back, he's going to set up his kingdom on earth. And he says, I'm sending you out with authority. You know, when you go out now, you're speaking for me. That's what Jesus says. And you have my authority behind you. Now, we're not apostles today, and we don't claim to have that same unique authority, but we should all be able to speak the gospel and witness with authority, because this is the Word of God. Anytime you've got the Word of God behind you, you can speak with authority. It isn't your word. It isn't your authority. This is God's word. This is God's authority. And when we have that, then we can be fearless. Like Martin Luther in the Reformation, he wrote tracts, and he was emphasizing that you can be saved without doing penance without going through all the church rituals. You're saved by faith. And he came under attack, and he was, of course, put on trial. And he stood there and faced all these church dignitaries and these civil leaders, and he said, "Look, you show me from the Word of God where what I've been saying is wrong, and I'll change. But if you can't show me," he says, "here I stand. I can do nothing else. God help me." And he spoke with real authority because he stood on the Word of God. Anytime you've got the Word of God you can stand on, then you can speak with authority. Paul says, "I'm an apostle, and I'm speaking with this authority, and authority that God has given me." And Paul says, "You know, I didn't choose this for myself. I didn't, as I was growing up, say, 'I think I'll be an apostle when I grow up.'" He was very keenly aware that God had called him for this work. And this should mark those who are in the Lord's service and what we call full-time work. They should have a conviction, "God has called me to this." And I want to read back in Amos, a prophet of the Old Testament. My wife and I have just been going through the book of Amos. And here's this man who lived many, many years ago. Amos was a prophet probably about 750 years before Christ, long time ago. He came to the northern kingdom in Israel, and he began preaching and saying to them, "You know, you're doing some things wrong." He was pointing out their sin. He was pointing out their idolatry, the things that were wrong. And a man named Amaziah came to him. This is in chapter 7 of Amos in verse 12. And Amaziah is the king's priest. They've set up a false religious system there in Bethel and in the northern kingdom of Israel. And Amaziah comes to Amos and he says, "Look, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah, and there eat bread and there prophesy." In other words, he says, "Go south. We don't want you up here. Never again prophesy at Bethel. We don't want you here." He says, "This is the king's sanctuary. This is the royal residence." In other words, the king of the northern kingdom here is in charge, and we don't like your preaching. Why don't you head south? Maybe they'll put up with it. We're not. We're in charge here. And you know, Amos answered and said to Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor was I the son of a prophet. I was a sheep herder, a tender of sycamore fruit. The Lord took me as I followed the flock. The Lord said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.' Now therefore hear the word of the Lord." And he stood there fearlessly because he says, "God called me. I didn't choose this. I was just a sheep herder, raised sheep, farmer, and God has called me and given me this message. Now you listen to it, because I'm speaking from God." You know, preachers and teachers of the Word should be able to speak with authority because the Lord has given them this message. And so Amos stood there fearlessly and gave the message of God. Paul was like that. Paul could say, "You know, I didn't choose to be an apostle." He said, I was persecuting the Christians on the road to Damascus. And this light brighter than the sun shone around me. I fell to the ground, and the voice came to me and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I looked up to heaven and I said, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you? You say I'm persecuting you. I'm persecuting Christians. Who are you?" And the voice came, "I'm Jesus, whom you persecute." And Saul, that moment, acknowledged the reality of Jesus as the Son of God and as the Savior, as the Messiah. And he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm through resisting you. I'm through persecuting the Christians. I'll do whatever you want." And God called him to to preach and to teach his word. So that Paul had a very strong sense that I didn't choose this. I didn't decide to be an apostle. God has saved me. God has called me. God's given me this work to do. And so he spoke with authority. Well, his enemies attacked him in those verses 9 and 11. They criticized him. They say, you know, he writes a good letter. Boy, he can use words in the letter. Well, when he comes there, he's not that impressive. If he's actually with you, we don't know what he looked like. There's a tradition that says he was kind of a short, small man. He wasn't that good looking. And he wasn't real impressive. And they charged him with that. And they said he's not really a trained speaker. He hasn't gone to our schools of rhetoric. And so he's not that impressive. Well, Paul says, listen, I'm going to be the same with you as I am through my letters. And I'm not going to tolerate this criticism. He goes on to say, my sphere was assigned by God. He says in verse 13, within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. Kind of interesting. Paul says, really, you know, I'm convinced God has given me this area and told me to work here. And so he was working in Greece and some of those areas through there, Corinth. And he says, this is what God has laid on my heart. This is the place I should work. So he says, I take this as a place now where God has told me to use my authority as an apostle, to preach the word, to teach, and to help his people. And you know, the Lord, as he calls some to serve him as missionaries or whatever, he gives them a place of work. He lays a place on their heart. And it isn't always an easy place to work. I have a friend who's working in Morocco. Very difficult Muslim land to work in. They don't see much success. But he feels, God has called me. God has given me this burden. This is where I'm to work. And this is the sphere. And it's wonderful to see the Lord guiding his servants. He gives, it says, to each man his work. He lays on your heart the place where you should labor and work. And Paul says, you know, that you people in Corinth, this is the place God has given to me and laid on me to work. And he says, when it comes to this whole area now, he says, I don't want to brag about anything except the Lord. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I'm going to brag about him. I haven't been that great a servant, but I can brag about my Savior. I can talk about him. I'm proud of him. Are you proud of the Lord Jesus? You say you've accepted him. Are you proud of him or are you ashamed of him? Are you afraid to witness? Are you afraid to identify with the Lord Jesus? He wasn't ashamed of you. He went to the cross. He died on the cross for you. We ought to be proud of him. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus. We shouldn't be ashamed of him. Whether it's at work or wherever we are, we shouldn't be ashamed of the fact we've accepted the Lord Jesus. We love him. We want to follow him. So Paul can say as he comes to the end of this chapter, I want to boast in the Lord. And I want to read on in chapter 11 because he's going to talk about some other things here in connection with this matter of his authority. He says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do hear me. Says, I'm going to, in a sense, talk kind of foolishly. I ought to just be talking about the Lord. I should just really be boasting in the Lord. But you so attacked me, I feel I need to defend my authority and the work I'm doing, so you listen to me. He says, I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you've not received, or a different gospel, which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it. He talks here about false apostles. First of all, he says, I'm very jealous for you. And he's talking here the way a man would think of his daughter. Most fathers are very concerned for their daughters. Maybe they know too much how men function sometimes. And they're very, very concerned as their daughters are growing up that they'll be kept pure and that they'll make a good marriage and that they'll know real happiness. I think fathers are very, generally speaking, very concerned for their daughters. Here Paul says, you know, I feel that way towards you. When I brought the gospel to you, and I told you about the Lord Jesus, and you accepted him, it was kind of like now you've, in a sense, fallen in love with the Lord Jesus. You've accepted him. Not having seen, we love, he says. And I'm sort of like a father now who has gotten you engaged to Jesus. You're part of the bride. The church is the bride of Christ. And one day, the Lord's people are going to be united to him, and it speaks of that as the marriage supper of the Lamb. Interesting figure. So Paul says in this interval, you're waiting for the marriage, and he says, I'm very concerned that you be faithful and loyal now to the Lord. And not that you be deceived or turned aside. In other words, really, what Paul is saying is, I don't want your eyes to be looking at other things, trying to find your happiness in these things. He says, keep your love, your affection, your loyalty to the Lord. I don't want to see your minds corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Interesting expression. So he's very, very concerned. He says, you know, there are people out there that want you to turn away from the Lord Jesus. There are those, he says, who are false apostles. There are those who preach another Jesus. And he says there are those out there with a message that would get you confused and turn you away from just a simple love for the Lord. He says, watch out for it. Now, sometimes people like this, preachers like this, will try to undermine the deity of Christ. And this we find in certain groups. There are certain cults, for example, who come to your door, and they'll knock on the door, and they'll say, you know, here we are. We just want to help people understand the Bible better. And we believe in Jesus, and we believe in God, and we would like to have Bible studies with you and just help you come to know the Bible better. But as you talk to them, you find out this particular group, anyway, doesn't really believe that Jesus is deity, that he is God. They believe he is an angel who came down really and took human form. But he's not really the Son of God. He's not really someone you should worship. And yet they come to you and they say, we believe in the Bible. We want to study the Bible with you. But it's a different Jesus. Another Jesus, not the Jesus of the New Testament, not the Jesus of the gospel that Paul preached. It's a different Jesus. Or another group may come to you and they may say, well, you know, what you've done is fine. You've accepted Jesus and you believe in him. But that's not enough. Have you been baptized yet? And you say, well, no, I haven't. You know, I really turned to the Lord just a short time ago. Well, until you get baptized, you're not really saved. And then they talk to you and they say, well, you know, and you need to do other things too. And you might ask them, well, when will I know that I'm saved? And they'll say, well, you'll know when you finally get there if you done all these things, Paul would say that's another gospel. It's not the gospel of grace. This is a gospel of works. And Paul says it's another gospel. You may say you believe in Jesus, you believe in God, you believe in the Bible, but you're saying basically, I'll go to heaven by what I do. If I keep the law, if I do this, if I do whatever, and they may have an endless number of works you're supposed to do. And it's works. Paul says it's another gospel. If you go to Galatians, and I want to just read a couple of verses there, he's very strong in this area. Galatians 1 and verse 6. He says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another of the same kind, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you've received, let him be accursed. Strong words. Now, why does Paul feel so strongly about this? Because he says, unless you believe, you're saved through faith in Christ and in him alone. As long as you're trusting your works, you're not saved. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. I don't care if you say the Apostles' Creed or belong to church or whatever. And Paul hits this thing very strongly. So he feels very, very strong about it. He says, let him be accursed. Someone who brings you a different message than this. And this is what has happened here. So he speaks of these as false apostles. Verse 13 and 14 of 2 Corinthians 11. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. A lot of religious confusion out there. The true gospel is we're sinners on our way to hell. We cannot save ourselves. We can't do anything to save ourselves in the first place or keep ourselves saved. We have to come to the point where we believe on the cross Jesus died for us, he paid for our sin, and we as sinners just accept him and say, Lord Jesus, save me. And we're saved because we're depending on him, not on what we do. If I'm depending on what I do, it's a gospel of works. What are you depending on this morning? Has the truth come home to you? Have you seen it? You know, and really, this is a kind of a revelation from the Lord. Paul, in fact, in Galatians 1 says, when it pleased the Lord to reveal his Son in me. And it's that moment of insight. And I remember when I was saved, that afternoon, it was March the 2nd, and the afternoon of that day, I heard the gospel for the first time, and I understood it, and I saw that all my works, my going to church, my being baptized, none of these things had saved me. And I realized, well, Christ did it all, and I accepted him, and I was saved. And so Paul is very strong in this area, and he feels very strongly about it. He says there's only one true gospel. If you believe a different message, a message that undercuts the person of the Lord Jesus, his character, who he is. If you don't really believe he's the Son of God, if you don't really believe that he's all he claimed to be, and then if it's a message that undercuts the work that he did, if you don't really believe when he died on the cross, that's enough. He died for me. He paid for all my sin. That's all I need. It's a different gospel. And so Paul emphasizes this very, very strongly. Now, he's defending the gospel and his message, and we've already read there Galatians 6. Galatians 1, 6 through 8 and 9. And Galatians 6, 14, as Paul comes to the end of this book of Galatians, he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus. Paul says, that's all I want to brag about. All I want to talk about is the cross, the death of the Lord Jesus died there for me. Paul says that's the most wonderful thing this world's ever seen. The Son of God taking my sin on himself and dying for me. It's a great thing to be saved and to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the next section, beginning with the last part of this chapter, Paul is defending himself. First of all, he says about himself, I preach the gospel to you freely, in verses 5 to 12. He says in verse 7, for example, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them or provisions from them to minister to you. When I was present with you in a need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. Everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. Now, what's Paul saying here? He's basically saying, I'm doing what God told, what the Lord Jesus told the apostles to do. When he sent them out, and I want to go back to Matthew 10, when Jesus sent out the apostles, this is what he said to them. Verse 7, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts. He says, as you go, the message you're going to proclaim is a message of grace. It's a message that's free. The gospel is free. You don't get saved by paying for it. Give it out freely. You don't charge for it. You're not going to go around and people aren't going to say to you, you're in this because of the money. The reason you're preaching is because you've got a good salary, you're paid well. He says, freely you've received, freely give. So Paul says, I did that. I came to you. I never took up an offering for myself. I didn't say to you, hey, you've got to support me or anything like this. He says, I gave you the message of God freely. Didn't ask you for anything. And this is what marked the early apostles, the first century. Those in the Lord's work were never salaried. They didn't have a financial arrangement. They preached the word freely. And those that were interested, churches that were interested, would help them. Would help provide for them. And when this is true, you don't hear this criticism then that these people are in it for the money. And they were going about preaching and teaching the gospel freely. And Paul says, my needs were met. Churches in Macedonia and other places sent funds to me. And he says, God has taken care of me. Now, this is thousands of years later, nearly 2,000 years later, but there are still those serving the Lord all over the world, missionaries and those in this country as well, who function on the same basis. And you know, I'd like to say my wife and I have served the Lord this way for 49 years. Never a salary, never asking anyone for money, and the Lord has provided. And no one has ever been able to say to us, well, you're in it because of the money. You wouldn't preach or you wouldn't teach if you didn't get that big salary. And there's a real liberty in doing that. And it certainly honors the Lord. And Paul says here, I preach the gospel to you freely. He warns about false apostles, Satan's ministers there in those verses we read earlier, 13 and 14. He says, they're claiming to be servants of the Lord, and yet they're not real, they're deceptive. And you know, the truth is, Satan has more religion going than God does in this world. There are lots of men of the cloth that are Satan's ministers, really. This is what he says. They're not preaching the truth. They're not preaching a clear gospel. And they're not really true servants of the Lord. How sad. Remember, my wife and I were once in a town in Northern California, and it was Sunday evening. We were traveling, and we decided to stop there, and we went into this little church. I won't mention the denomination, but we thought, well, we'd like to see what kind of message they're preaching here. And the man preached on reconciliation. He talked about we needed to be reconciled in our families to one another. We need to be reconciled in our neighborhoods. We needed as a nation to be reconciled. We should get rid of this racism and all that, be reconciled. And the world needed to be reconciled so everyone was living together in love and happiness. But he never talked about reconciliation with God, which is the basic problem. And so after the meeting, I went up and shook hands with him as we were going out. I said, I'd like to give you something to read. So I gave him a tract that says God's Way of Salvation, and it's just very straightforward and lays it out, how you can be saved. And he glanced at it. And he said to me, well, he said, I know that message, but he said, I can't preach it here. The church and his board or whatever it was said, we don't want the message of the gospel here. That's a false church. That's a false message. And it's sad when that's true. And yet it's true today in various places throughout the world, even in our own city here. Now, Paul goes on to talk about his sacrificial service. He says, you know, I've been serving the Lord, not for money. I've been doing it freely, he said. I've not chosen to do this because it's easy. He says, I've been serving the Lord because I love him. And because I want to do his will. So he lists some of these things. We'll pick up a few verses here in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who's weak and I'm not weak? Who's made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? So he speaks here of the physical dangers he went through. And he names them there. He'd been shipwrecked time and again. He's been 3 times he said, I was shipwrecked in his travels. He says, I've been stoned, I've been beaten, I've been imprisoned, I've gone hungry. I've done these things because of my devotion to the Lord and because of my desire to please Him. And the reason he's saying these things is you forced me to do this. You're questioning my sincerity, you're questioning my motives, you're questioning that I'm an apostle. And he says, I want you to know I've been willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus. And besides that, he says, there's the spiritual concern. He says, I've suffered a lot spiritually as I have such a concern for you Christians. I love you, he says in Corinth, and I want you to go on for the Lord. And he says, I have such a concern. He speaks here of the deep concern for all the churches. This, he says, just comes on me daily. Tremendous heart that he had for the Lord's people. And a deep, deep concern. I'm sure there were times when Paul didn't get to sleep at night, praying and concerned for these. And this deep burden for those that had come to know and love the Lord Jesus. So Paul says, listen, God has called me. I am an apostle. I've served him faithfully. And I want to continue to be useful to him. And he affirms again the message that I've preached, the gospel I've preached. This is the true gospel. Do you believe that gospel today? The same gospel that Paul preached those many years ago. It's the only gospel that will save. You know, every one of us here is either saved or lost. You can either say, yes, there came a time in my life when I accepted the Lord Jesus, and I know I'm saved, I know I'm on my way to heaven. Not because of how good I am, but because of the wonderful Savior I have. I hope you can say that.